Shusar Avadim. Spend the minutes we have now looking at some of the oldest parts of the Machzor. The Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Davening is a rich blend of piyutim that were written recently and earlier, but some of the core of the davening, of course, you have the shofar, appears in Chumash, and the core of the language of the davening goes back a long way. I want to take a look together, one or two parts of the davening that go back to the days of the Mishnah Gemara. And looking at some familiar parts of the davening, we'll see an interesting pattern or two, which will give us insight, hopefully, into some of the, not only the words that we say, but the work that we're trying to do. Mishnah and the Maseches Megillah tells us that there's a mitzvah midrabanan talein, Kriyas HaTorah. We have Kriyas HaTorah throughout the year, and there's a special aspect of Kriyas HaTorah on Yamim Tovim. Now the Mishnah presents what it is that we lay on Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, so on and so forth. And the Gemara, Maseches Megillah there, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, tells us that there were different practices in terms of what you lay on Yamim Tovim, different practices in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. The Mishnah records what they laid in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud Bavel, the Amoraim, several generations later, point out that, but here in Bavel, we have a different practice. So while, for instance, while the Mishnah records that the laning on Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael was the paragraphs that you would sort of expect. You're laying about, there are passages in the Chumash, and you have both in Chumash Vayikra and Chumash Bamidbar passages about the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, about the Karbanos, about the Tkiya Shofar, and that was the focus of the Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah on in Eretz Yisrael, much the way we do on the other Yom Tovim. Right? On Yom Kippur, we lay in about the Avos Yom Kippurim. Sukkot, we lay in the Psukim about the Karbanos of Sukkot. Pesach, we read the laying different paragraphs in Chumash that talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, about Karban Pesach. And that apparently was the practice of Rosh Hashanah as well in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Mishnah says. B'chodesh HaShvi, we lay in a paragraph that has to do with Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says, but in Bavel we have a different practice, and that's we nowadays follow the practice that the Talmud Bavli records. That in Bavel they would not lay in about Rosh Hashanah at all. If you think about it, the Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah is pretty striking. It doesn't mention anything about Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, we read two prakim in a row from Chumash Bereishis. The first day we read Vashem Pokad Sarah, the parak that begins with the end of Sarah's struggle, decades-long struggle with infertility. Sarah becomes pregnant, ultimately gives birth to Yitzhak, the beginning of the story of Yitzhak. And then the second day, we read the next paragraph, which is one of the great events in the life of Yitzhak, the Akedah. So interesting. It's strange. Why in Bavel did they, number one, shift away from what had been done in Eretz Yisrael? And why is it different, not only different than what was done in Eretz Yisrael, it's different than every other Yom Tov. Every other Yom Tov, we lain about the Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, we managed to find a part of Chumash that doesn't mention Rosh Hashanah at all. And that's, that becomes a Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Hashanah. So it's Mikra of Mikra Zomer Darsheni. We need to understand we're going out of our way to find something that doesn't seem to fit. So there must be a very strong message or pair of messages here. So that's question number one, is what's with, why are we reading about the birth of Yitzchak? Why are we reading about the Akedah of Yitzchak? Thinking about it, one also might wonder, what's the connection between the two? Between the first day and the second. Now, obviously, one follows the next in Chumash, and you know, so it's two different, literally and figuratively, two successive chapters in the life of Yitzchak. But one wonders whether there's something more to it at play as well. So let's, having thought about one ancient part of the Rosh Hashanah Davin, the Kriyas HaTorah, let's move to a second ancient part of the Davin and Rosh Hashanah. And that takes us from Mishnayis and Maseches Megillah to Mishnayis at the heart of the Yontif, Mishnayis and Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The latter prakim of Rosh Hashanah speak about the mitzvah of shofar and tell us towards the end of the Masechta that not only do we sound the shofar, But we have ancient halacha, either min haTorah, min Rabbanan, that we need to contextualize the shofar. The shofar is wordless, but we couch the wordless sound of the shofar in a series of words, specifically in a series of psukim. Mishnayos tell us we have three sets of themes: Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Our practice is that we have three brachas that relate to those three sets of themes specifically at Musaf. There were communities historically that said Machios, Zichronos, Shofros, some of the other tefillos of Rosh Hashanah as well. But our pre-universal practice for many centuries is that's what's unique about the davening of Musaf from Rosh Hashanah. One time a year that we have not seven brachas, not 19 brachas, but 9 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. Because at the core, you have the first three, the last three. Then in the core, unlike any other Shabbos Yom Tov, the core is not one bracha, but three brachas. One for Malchios, one for Zichronos, and one for Shofros. Kadosh Baruch Hu Malchus, Kadosh Baruch Hu's royalty. Zichronos, about Kadosh Baruch Hu's awareness of what is happening, what has happened. And finally, about the Shofar itself. And you open up a machzer, the Gemara points out, you open up a machzer, and at the heart of these three brachas are sets of psukim. That's really what the brachas themselves are, an envelope, a presentation, a setting for the jewel, which is 10 psukim about each theme. 3 psukim of Chumash, 3 psukim from Tehillim, 3 psukim from Nevi'im, that goes in chronological order. And then finally we end with a sort of a summation, a final 10th pasuk from Chumash. The Gemara tells us that the Zichronos, we understand, the Torah says it's a day of Zichron Trua, the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zichron Trua captures those last two. It's a day of Shofar, it's a day of Zikaron, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking about what we've done. What's that first set about? Malchios? Gemara says, K'dei Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. We need to, the work, apparently a key part of the work, the spiritual work of Rosh Hashanah, is that we should be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king. You look at the psukim, though, there's something afoot. So the psukim of Zichronos all talk about that, use that word, lizkor. The psukim of Shofros all talk about Shofar. The psukim of Malchios, well, if you open a machzor, you'll take a look and see most of them use the word melech. Hashem malach geus lavesh, vahi bishur in melech, v'haisal Hashem hamalucha. If you think of the psukim that we hear the chazan here ringing our ears, hear the chazan singing that special niggun, v'hi Hashem lamelech hakol ha'aretz, that one after another psukim they have the term melech. Until you get to the climax of that series of ten psukim, v'saroscha kasuv leimar, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. A beautiful pasuk, obviously a central pasuk, every day, and on Rosh Hashanah in particular. But what's missing is Malchus. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. 6 words. None of them are the word Melech. So it's a very important pasuk. But why is the, sort of the, to cap off the series of psukim on Malchus, we use a pasuk that doesn't mention Malchus. A very important pasuk. What does that have to do with Malchus? Truth is, if you open Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Lama Beis and Beis, the Gemara actually has the Machlokas. The Gemara has a sugya about which psukim qualify for Malchus, for Zichronos, and Shofros. The Gemara has the Machlokas HaTanon, Yosef Yehuda. Does this pasuk work or not? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yossi says yes. And we obviously follow the position of Rabbi Yossi that not only it does qualify, we actually use it. You take a look there, they also argue about another pasuk, a pasuk which does appear in this bracha as well. We know it well from Aleinu, which is at the heart of the bracha of Malchus. We need to... Thank you so much. Thank you. Know this, and take it to heart, v'hashevos te'elavecha, k'shem elokim b'shamayim mimal v'aretz mitachas, ein od. God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God, and the heavens, the earth, no one but Him. Again, a pasuk that the Rabbi Yossi says is acceptable, and once again, it's a beautiful pasuk, an important pasuk, an inspiring pasuk, central to our emunah, but no reference to Melech. So as a matter of fact, the Maharsha explains that that's exactly what the Tanaim are debating. Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies these two psukim because he says if it doesn't use the word Melech, it doesn't count as one of the psukim of Malchus. An important pasuk, but save it for a different part of the davening. Okay. We pass on like Rabbi Yossi. These are acceptable psukim. Apparently, you don't need the word melech, but you do need the theme of malchus. So it begs the question. So even without using the word melech, what do these have to do with malchus, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yadata Yom V'Hashevosa El Avechad. What does this tell us? What does it tell us? And what does it tell us about malchus? Malchus is, as we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, and as we know well, Kadesh Tam Lichuni Aleichem, to accept HaKadosh Baruch with Malchus, to think about this idea is one of our central tasks in Rosh Hashanah. Well, what is Malchus? Apparently, these two psukim encapsulate it, even without using that term. So there's a vart from the Rebbe, one of the Rebbes of Alexandria, that I find very pithy. It says a lot. Ideas and practically says a lot. A pasuk, he commented on one line, one of the Pyutim. Ato Hashem Elokeinu b'shamayim uva'aretz. Familiar line. You are our God b'shamayim uva'aretz, in the heavens and the earth. So Rebbe of Alexandria said, you know, it's a lot easier to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Shamayim. That's the easy part. The difficult part is recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here on earth. In other words, to believe that God exists, is sort of in theory, there's one God who runs the world, so that's a lot easier than recognizing that he is down here. Meaning recognizing that abstract reality makes a call on my life, is going to impact the decisions that I make on a day-to-day basis, that's a lot harder. To believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in theory is one thing, but to actually recognize that commits me to sometimes take the higher road and sometimes make difficult decisions because it's the right thing to do, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me, that's a whole other ball of wax. And that's a whole new level of practical commitment. Those two ideas, Ato Hashem Elokeinu b'shamayim, uva'aretz, I would suggest, are at the heart of what Malchus is all about. To recognize, after all, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the pasuk we just spoke about, this seems strangely a member of the Malchus set. Gemara Maseches Brachos refers to Kriya Shema as Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. An acceptance of every day, Kriya Shema is a reacceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom. What does that mean? It's number one, recognizing Ato Hashem Elokeinu b'shamayim, recognizing there's one God. And number two, the second aspect of Malchus, not recognizing that in theory, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, but recognizing how that's going to apply in my life and being prepared to take that on. Being prepared to say, I'm going to have to make different decisions. I'm going to have to think about how to align my will with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do that hard moral work. I would suggest to you that takes us to the two Kriyos HaTorah of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The first Kriyos HaTorah, V'Hashem Pokad HaSara, is a recognition of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu impacts what goes on in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls events. V'Hashem Pokad HaSara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided there was time for Sarah's infertility to be rolled back, and it was rolled back. That's Hashem b'shamayim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. The second Kriyas HaTorah is Avravinu taking that reality, taking that abstract notion and applying it to real life. The Akedah, the lady of the first day, is recognized that Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing his, that he has his power. The application of it to us is the second day's lane, the Akedah. Avravinu says, if Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world, that means I need to do what he expects of me. And I need to put my talents and my free will at his beck and call. And that's sort of the first concept applied. That's the Akedah. That's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, recognizing there's one God who runs the world. The Adata Yom Vashevosa El Vavecha, that second pasuk, is not just the Adata Yom, to know it, but Vashevosa El Vavecha, to take it to heart, to be ready to apply it. And I believe that's really something that we need to think about well. If that's the work of Rosh Hashanah, then as Tekadesha Tam Lichuni Aleichem, so that means it's an exercise in Emunah, and it's an exercise in being willing to make sacrifices. And part of the work of the weeks that lead up to Rosh Hashanah, and part of the work of listening to the shofar, and perhaps the first day and the second day, is number one to meditate, number one, on what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives, that he knows, that he cares, that he's involved, that he's guiding. That's the first aspect of Malchus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech. Ein melech below am, the second aspect of Malchus is to recognize that we need to rethink our lives. He does his business, he's in charge and he's running the world, and we need to think about the one thing that we have to offer our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our free will. And to ask ourselves honest questions about where is our akedah, so to speak? Where is our, not just v'yadata yom, to believe, the hashevosa el levavecha, to ask ourselves honestly, what are the parts of my life that aren't yet, what are the choices that I'm making that aren't yet aligned with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me? So there are always, for every person, there are easier things, there are harder things. To think about, what are one or two hard things that I'm ready to accept Malchus Hashem, I'm ready to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make the calls, and I will heed his call. Wish you all a productive Chodesh El.